verse by verse on this last Sunday, and I told you then I wanted to come back to verse 5 and look at it just a little bit deeper, and what Paul is telling us here in this final chapter as he was bidding farewell to this church at Corinth, as he is asking them, and for that matter us. It is the Word of God, and this stands true for us as well as it does for the church at Corinth there, that we need this examination of ourselves. And so this afternoon I want us to consider what it is that Paul means here to examine yourself. Why is it so important that we do this, what Paul is saying here in verse number 5? Notice again what he tells them: examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate. Now, Paul will go on to say there in verse 6, as we looked at last week, he said, but I trust that ye shall know we are not reprobates. In other words, Paul said, I've proved myself. I've shown that Christ Jesus is in me. The things that Paul had endured, the things that Paul suffered, the things that Paul had went through, and yet he continued faithful to declare Christ. He said, I trust that you know that I'm not reprobate, that indeed I have examined myself and know that Christ Jesus is in me, and he's telling us to do the same. We would know also. So what does Paul mean when he says to examine yourself? To examine yourself is a discussion with one's own heart. In Psalm 77, David writes there in verse number 6. Psalm 77 and verse number 6. It says, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. I commune with my own heart, and my diligence made, or my spirit rather, made diligent search. It is a searching of one's own heart to see, as Paul would say in our text here, is Christ in you? Are you sure that you have Jesus as Lord and Savior? Are you sure that indeed you have been redeemed by the grace of God? Is Jesus there? God in His grace has given us a conscience to light our souls for such an examination. He said in Proverbs chapter number 20 and verse number 27, Proverbs 20 and verse 27, he says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Searching all the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. By the light of this candle, a Christian must search his soul to see, is any grace there? Is Christ there in me? And what is it to be examined by? What do we make this examination with? What is it that we measure it by to determine in that examination of ourselves? What is it that we measure it against to determine whether or not we have Jesus in us? Well, that measurement is the Word of God. That's what we use to measure it by. We must try ourselves by His Word. Opinions of men and ideas of philosophy and religion and even experiences of our own are false rules to go by. We have to go by what is sound. We have to go by what is proven. We have to go by what is the authority, and that is the Word of God. David declared there in Psalm 119 and verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." This process is a difficult process to examine oneself. It is a necessary duty of every Christian, but it cannot be done without causing harm to ourselves. It's a work of self-reflection, and the heart is the place where this work lies. External acts of religion are misleading and confusing to many people, and that's what we find today in Christendom, is there are so many people that are basing their salvation, they're basing their experience with Christ on something they themselves have performed. And based upon that performance, they say, "Well, see right there, I belong to Jesus. Jesus is mine. I'm saved because I've done this, I've done that, I've done this. Somebody else has done this," whatever the case may be. And they look to these external acts of religion as proofs to their salvation or their peace with God. They came forward, they recited a prayer, they signed a card, they joined the church, they were baptized, so they had faith, they say, with which those external acts prove nothing of salvation. They're just proof you did something. That's not a proof of grace. It's not a proof of salvation. It's not a proof of Christ in you. So to examine self is to look inward. It's not to look at what you have done outward, but it is to look inward to consider on what does your faith stand. What is it that your faith is resting on? If any part of it is, "Well, I've done this," then you better be examining hard. If any part of it is what points to you, then you need to be examining hard. Do I have faith? Do I have Christ? Examine yourself. To examine yourself is to look inward and to consider on what does your faith stand. It is, however, as I said, an examination that causes pain. It is an examination that is hard. It's easy to see the faults of others. It's hard to see the faults of self. It's hard to do this examination because of self-love. Self-love flatters. We're all ready to think the best of ourselves, to think that we have the best motives, to think we have the best intentions, to think that we're going the right way and doing the right thing because, well, it feels good to us in the moment. So self-love can be very confusing. Our thoughts and our motives and our actions. Solomon says there in Proverbs 10 and verse number 12, a right statement, "Love covereth all sins." And self-love will do that faster than any other. Because we can wash them out when we're considering self. How true it is for self-love. We can hide that multitude of sins. Self-love makes one excuse his sin and even ignore his sin. So this is a hard thing to do when Paul says to examine yourself. Not only is it hard, but when we are examining ourselves and looking deep within us, we resist that. It's something we resist because it causes a consciousness of guilt in us. No one wants to look deep within and find filth and rot, but that is the very base of depravity. Thomas Watson said, "It is little pleasure to read the handwriting on the wall of conscience. It is little pleasure to read the handwriting on the wall of conscience. It's not a pleasing thing." So we resist it. It brings consciousness of guilt. It can also cause many have foolish and presumptuous hopes that are based on something they did and not on what Jesus did. They feel secure because they did something, and that security is flimsy, and they know that that security is flimsy. So to look in deeper, to try to truly go in and examine their praise, well, wait a minute, that might upset my apple cart, and I don't want to go in and look any deeper, so I'll just be satisfied with my flimsy faith. And hold on to that flimsy hope that's not based in Christ, but based in self. It's hard, and we resist it, because many rest in the good opinion of others. And that's where the basis of their security is. Well, everybody else thinks good of me. Everybody else thinks I'm okay. Everybody else thinks I act like a Christian person. So I don't want to upset anybody's thinking of me. I don't want to make them think otherwise. I'll just go along with their opinions of me instead of the Lord's opinion of me. How often do others declare of other people, "Why, he's a good feller. I know him. Boy, he's a good neighbor, good Christian person, because he does this, he does that, he does this." And people like to hear that of themselves. They like to hear this. There's nothing wrong with enjoying that, and we should, as children of God, strive to be examples of what men ought to be, women ought to be. But remember, the other disciples thought Judas was just an A-okay fella too. I mean, they thought enough of Judas, and they made him the treasurer. There's nothing getting broke apart. they thought he was good enough. He's the treasurer. We'll let him carry the money around. You can't get any, more honest than Judas here. And Jesus said he was a devil from the beginning. So the a popular opinion, or the good opinion of others about you, is nothing to base this examination on. It's not what's on the outside, but it is what is in the heart. It's something we resist, this examination, because many simply don't believe the Scripture. Jeremiah 17, verse number 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The heart is an imposter that will convince you of falsehoods about yourself. And that self-love will grab on to those falsehoods and say, "Yes, that's who I am, that's right, that's what I have." And we'll believe and follow that heart. And that is a common mantra of today. You hear people all the time, "Well, I'm just going to follow my heart." That's the dumbest thing you could ever do. the dumbest thing you can do. That heart is desperately deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You don't follow your heart. You follow the Spirit of God. You follow His Word. That's what you follow. The heart will persuade that a light tear is true repentance and a lazy desire to serve is faith. And now, because generally man does not want to believe there is evil in their hearts, they are slow or even insufficient to examine those hearts to see, is Christ in me? And this natural reluctance to examine ourselves should cause us to be more determined to make that thorough examination. Is Christ in me? Do I truly have Christ? Is He truly my Lord and my Savior? Am I truly saved? Do I have peace with God? The results of examining one's own heart, if we never do this examination that Paul is speaking of here, if we never examine ourselves, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves, know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. If we never do this, we can never know truly how we stand before God. This examination is necessary that we find our place before Him. One who is ignorant of the state of his soul would seemingly have a trembling heart. I was talking to a preacher the other day. It's been a couple of weeks ago when we were discussing this particular subject. He was talking about a lost man in his congregation. And he said that man goes away every Sunday. He says he'll come in, listen to the preaching, shake his head, yes. In agreement with him, yes. And said he'll leave that place on that Sunday morning and Sunday night. He's faithful to come, he's faithful to be there, but he's lost. And he said, man, what a dangerous place to be in. What a dangerous place to be in. He's going on his merry way. He's lost as can be, thinking everything's all right, but he's depending on something else instead of Christ. One who is ignorant of the state of his soul would seemingly have a trembling heart, not knowing what kingdom he belongs to, not knowing whether or not his soul is in Christ or his soul is in hell. There's a great advantage in self-examination. Upon examining, you find you do not have grace in truth. Then that mistake is discovered, and you can throw yourself at the feet of Jesus and call upon Him. If you find in examination that you truly have the grace of Christ, then you can rejoice and take great comfort that you belong to Him. Go over to Matthew 13 and look with me there. Matthew 13, verse 45 and 46. How glad was this one that had found here the pearl of great price. At Matthew 13, verse 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. And when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. How wondrous was it to him to have that one thing, that one pearl? He was looking for many pearls. He was looking for goodly pearls, but he found that one. He found that one of great price, that one that outshined all the rest of them. And he sold everything he had to get that one. How important it was to him. Even if you do this examination and you find that you have the least amount of grace possible, as the old saying goes, by the skin of your teeth, even the least amount of grace possible, you're still heir to all the promises in Christ and are fully saved by God's grace. Matthew chapter 7. This is the reason. This is the reason, Paul says, to examine yourself. This is the reason this examination is so necessary. These three verses of Matthew chapter 7, the saddest verses in all of the Scripture. Saddest verse. Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23. The Lord says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" You see, that was their examination. They examined themselves, and in their examination they had determined, "I'm okay with God, I'm okay with Christ, because I have done this, and I have done this, and I have done that, and so surely he's going to be pleased with these things that I've done." They thought they were okay. They pointed to the things that they'd done. They called him Lord, Lord, Lord. "Have we not done these things?" These people, in their examination of their faith, fooled themselves. They didn't fool Christ, but they fooled themselves. "Many," he said, "many will say to me in that day." There will be many that will come before him in judgment and will say, "Lord, why am I here? I did this and I did this for you and I've done this for you. Look at all these things that I have done." And his answer will be to them, "Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." The things that they were hoping in, the things that they were pointing to, the things that they had examined of themselves and said, "Look what I've done for God, I must be okay with him. Look at the religious things that I've accomplished, I must be all right." Those things that they had depended on, Jesus called them works of iniquity. The things they were hoping would get them into heaven, he says are nothing but sin. Same thing Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says. Our righteousnesses, the things that you and I do in and of ourselves, by our own ability, by our own strength, outside of God, the things of the flesh, he says, are as filthy rags before God. The examination of yourself to determine whether or not you have faith. To do this examination, as Paul says, is not to find what you have done. That examination is to find what Christ Jesus has done for you. That's what that examination is to do. That's what it is to show us. That's what it is to reveal for us, is that when we look into our own faith, when we look into ourselves, when we look into our own hearts and seek out what is it that makes me a child of God? What is it that makes me a Christian? What is it that has saved me? That answer should always bring us back to Christ. It's Jesus. It's what He's done for me. It's His finished work on the cross that has redeemed me. It is His work for me that has washed my sins away. That's what that examination must bring. For if it does not, if your examination does not show you that your faith is Christ, then you need to run to Christ. You need to run to Him and call upon Him. Because the examination of self is of utmost importance to show you where you stand. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Examine yourself. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed.